Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Take-Two Radio. I'm Pam, your host, and co-hosting with me tonight is my good friend Sabina. Hello, Sabina.
Hello, Pam. Hello, everybody.
You have to get happy, happy. You got to have, like, extra happy for today's guest. For today's guest. So she's going to call you out on it. Well, today we welcome our special guest, who's a woman that never sleeps. She's the director of Harvesting Happiness, the founder of Harvesting Happiness for Heroes, positive psychology coach, a radio and TV host, and more. Welcome, Lisa Kamen.
Hi, Pam. Thanks for having me on the show.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us. And I'm glad that you're able to park and talk.
You know, it was like the multitasking experience to the on steroids. You know, getting ready for the show, getting to the good the good bars. You know, the good mobile cell service and parking. Sliding in just when your music started.
Perfect. I couldn't ask more of you.
Hard, safe, and on the air. Yay!
Major feat for a Tuesday. So
exactly.
First off, as I said to you a little bit earlier, we want to know how you do it all and when you sleep. You have so much besides just all those things you do, but you also have a family.
I do. And, you know, this is a great question because I really cherish my sleep. It's like it is one of my drugs of choice, sleep, music, dancing, things like that. But I keep teenagers' hours. I have two teenagers, and I find that they peter out at around 9:30 at night, and so do I. So that's how I'm able to recoup some of my sleep. But also, you know, I think it's important to talk about fear and anxiety and how it can be used as a catalyst to propel us to do cool and amazing things, you know?
All right.
Many of us who are single moms out there who are working hard to provide for our families and really live a life that's a happy one and fulfilling, there's an underlying fear and discomfort that can propel us. So I work with this and I talk about this often in the workshops I do and in coaching.
I can understand that. And, you know, I do this show with a co-host because, of course, the two that I have are really good. But because I have a fear of doing it by myself. But I have conquered one fear, and that is doing my own show. So that was not easy to do, let me tell you.
I bet not. You know, for those of us who have, you know, public, you know, fear of being out in public and speaking and fearing that we're going to mess up in somehow, when
right.
In fact those goofs that happen in real time can often, you know, make for the best discoveries.
Exactly. And I love when it's not me making the mistake, though. That makes it easier for me to accept.
Yeah, we're hard on ourselves. We are our own
yes.
worst critics most of the time, especially women. You know, us gals, we want to be perfect in every way.
That's very true. I know I've had a lot of people, you know, say that I'm good at what I do, but that's why I don't listen to my podcast, because I would be sitting there just critiquing everything and rolling my eyes in my head and saying, oh, my God, why? You know? Do you
it's
ever
true.
Feel that way when you watch one of your videos or something?
I do. And, in fact, we're working on a little sizzle reel for some production stuff that we're doing. And I watched the thing over and over and over again, like five times. I'm like, okay, I can't watch this anymore. First of all, I'm tired of myself. That's the first thing. And then secondly, I start to get uber critical, you know, like all the
right.
little nooks and crannies, the technology, you know, what's working, what's not. And so finally I said, you know what, you guys figure it out, you know. The content is basically okay, so I'm okay with what comes, and I can go on to something else. Because
mm-hmm.
we do tend to hyper-focus on the things in life that we don't like about ourselves or the things that we don't like about others.
Right. That's so true. How are you with that, Sabina? Are you a critical person of yourself?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. But I've I've gotten over the listening back to myself because I enjoy listening back to, you know, whenever I call in or whenever I interview, because I just enjoy the other person, of course, more. So I've learned to just turn my ear off to myself and just put up with it for a few minutes.
Well, you have to tell me that secret on how you do that, because I don't know how you do it.
Or you can just fast forward through yourself, you know, and just listen to the bits and pieces that are not you.
That state of being able to really, you know, dial in and listen to someone else and turn off the inner critic and the mind chatter is really that state of presence that we call mindfulness. And mindfulness is so greatly tied to happiness. You know, people often talk about happiness with the yellow smiley face and the giggles, and it's a saccharine sweet sort of image that comes to mind. But what we're really talking about is feeling fulfilled and flourishing and thriving in life. And this ability to be fully present and alert and in attention with the person that we're speaking with is a gift. And it means that we are able to just sort of stop time and really savor the moment. And that is, you know, joy, the only joy we can really hold on to, because everything else is fleeting. You know, it comes and it goes.
Right, right. That's true. And you can think about a million different times in life that you were happy, but it doesn't last. You have to continue to find things to bring you enjoyment.
Exactly. Enjoyment with the E-N and then with the I-N, you know, to be in it, in the moment, for however long the moment lasts, because it's, life is not always happy and it's not always perfect. And, you know, how do we come back to that place of balance when bad things do happen?
I know. My life is not a peach, just like a lot of other people, you know, I'm sure. And I find by doing this show, because I enjoy doing it and I enjoy talking with other people and finding out about them and letting our listeners find out more about somebody maybe they never knew about, or listening to music or spending time with my, as I call them, G kids, because don't ever call me grandma. Those are my
great
ways of finding happiness. So on a continued basis.
And it's connection. You know, it is all about the connection, which if you look at the science of happiness, positive psychology, and the research that supports what it is that makes humans happy, it really is having these really solid, good interpersonal relationships with others, even if they're fleeting, even if it's for whatever time we're together on the radio show, we're showing up for each other, you know,
right.
And that has meaning.
Exactly, exactly. Well, for our listeners, why don't you let them know a little bit about your educational background and how you got into helping people? What inspired you to do this?
I went back to college or university in midlife to become a psychologist. I had the intention of becoming a clinical psychologist, and in the first year of my graduate studies, I realized that people often show up for therapy, traditional talk therapy, presenting with the same issues over and over and over again. The characters may change, the stories are shifted a little, but the core issues of what makes us feel disgruntled or displeased or depressed tend to repeat themselves. And I thought, I'm not so sure I have the patience or the constitution to work with people in this classical way. Excuse me. So I discovered that film is a really powerful medium to teach and to help heal. So I decided for my thesis, for my master's degree in psychology, that I would make a documentary film about happiness. I had the great fortune of being able to go cycling in northern India near the Pakistan border in my first year of graduate school. And I had left my kids, my husband at the time, the life that I was leading, and I just took 2 weeks out to go and do this very strenuous and rigorous trip. And what I discovered as I was cycling is these people were really living in poverty. They really seemingly had nothing material, and yet the lights were on in their eyes. There was joy emanating from them. They would give you whatever they had, you know, a cup of tea from their modest kitchens, food, whatever they had. They were really interested in the connection. And I thought to myself, there's something to this, that we as Westerners constantly, there's a wonderful Yiddish word called kvetch, which is whine. We whine about the things in life that go wrong. We spend most of our time actually in the whine as opposed to the joy. So I thought, well, this is something I need to bottle. I need to learn how to teach it and give it to Western society in a way that they can digest it. And one of those ways is through film. So I made a documentary film called H Factor, Where is Your Heart, which is actually still travels around the world at academic conferences, and I use it for trainings and civilian workshops, at lectures I do at universities. And most important to me, or passionate to me, is the work I do with veterans, which really is all about how do we find that happy place after suffering, after trauma, after bad things happen to us. So that's kind of like the quick evolution of the work. So I went from starting out with a desire to have a very clinical practice and way of being in the world with psychology to an applied one, you know, how to take these skills of positive psychology and put them to use quickly and easily.
That's a lot.
That's amazing.
That's a mouthful.
It's good stuff.
It's very interesting. Definitely very interesting. I read about, another trip to India where you worked with the Salus Foundation, which helps raise funds for the education of girls in India. How did you get started with that foundation, and can you tell us a little more about it?
Yes, I can. A girlfriend of mine was born and raised in Lucknow, India, and she and another friend who was also born and raised there, who still lives there, decided that they wanted to help girls in the lower caste. India is based on a caste system, who wouldn't normally have access to education, that oftentimes these young girls don't even learn how to read and write, and they're betrothed. They're actually pledged to marriage to somebody usually older when they're, you know, 10 or 12 years old. So my girlfriend said, I'm starting this charity. My girlfriend Sashi is going to give the land. They're going to build a building. Would you help us raise funds? So that was how I started in filmmaking. On that very trip where I decided to create the thesis for my master's degree in psychology, I also made a little film for them about how we can all make a difference by giving to the girls' school. But really, in general, it's about how each one of us can make a difference by giving some time, attention, love, and whatever resources that we have to be the change in the world that we wish to see. You know, Gandhi's theory of being active in changing the world as opposed to being a passenger.
Exactly. There's not enough people realize that by helping others doesn't necessarily always mean that you have to give money.
Oh, in fact, the science bears witness to this in that it's about rolling up your sleeves and actually being of use to someone else is what contributes to our happiness level. It actually, it's called the helper's high, and it releases the good feeling endorphins in our brain when we do something good for someone else.
Right.
And the payback is our own increased joy.
That's right. I know that it always gives me joy to help somebody else in any capacity that I can. And I do it, you know, at least on a daily basis, even if it's something very simple as to make somebody laugh because they're feeling down.
And the laughter is like love and joy is medicine. I mean, it is what heals.
That's right. That's right. Well, how has your life changed since you started working to help others?
Well, it's changed in incredible ways. When I went back to school, I was married, I thought at the time, happily. You know, I was living a sort of a quintessential, upwardly mobile life. I was a stay-at-home mom, and I had gone back to school really because I wanted to be of use to others and to be self-fulfilled. And my marriage fell apart. The economy fell apart. My life as I knew it dramatically shifted, and it was quite catastrophic. I mean, it happened with incredible rapidity and financial destruction. There was psychological destruction with someone that I loved in my family, and things went from, you know, light to dark really overnight. And what I realized is these skills that I learned couldn't have arrived in my life at a better time.
Right.
And I knew the ticket for my own, not, I won't say survival, because it really, survival is just a mediocre word, but to thrive, to become a thriver, was to really put these skills to work, to use my voice, to use the skills, to use the talents, to help others, to give voice to the voiceless, as Becca Eaton, a musician who wrote our anthem for Harvesting Happiness for Heroes, often says. But that was really it, to do what I love, to use the gifts, to do what I'm most passionate about. And I think that that is what we all want out of life, is to be able to be rewarded for doing what we do best.
Right, right. And I'm a huge believer in what you give out is what you get back.
Oh, 100 times. For me,
right.
Anyway. My experience with it is the social wealth, the emotional wealth, the wealth that comes from the joy that I receive in being of service and being of use to others is a huge payback. You know, financially, we can always have more. We will never have enough, because that's human nature, is to be a bowl with a hole. You know,
right.
We get what we think we want, and we want something else.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, speaking of the military and HH for Heroes, my son recently finished his 4 years in the Marine Corps, and he was deployed for I think it was a year or just a little over a year, with us not knowing where he was. And that was probably the hardest year of my life. So with Harvesting Happiness for Heroes, how would you help someone like me as a mom?
Well, you know, at the core of Harvesting Happiness for Heroes, we're teaching resiliency skills. And I think that that is the number one key to finding equanimity or balance in life, which includes happiness, as well as appropriately responding when life doesn't always go happy. So with really teaching appreciation of each day, savoring the moment, staying in the moment so you don't spiral out of control with negative future fantasies, or ruminating about the past, or understanding that in this moment, everything is okay, and that's the only thing that we actually can embrace, is the moment. So it comes back to that mindfulness that we spoke of early on in the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just took it day by day. I mean, that was all I could do, because if I would think about the what if, or the next day, or the future, you know, of him not being here or something, then I would drive myself insane.
There's the psychological aspect of, you know, pushing oneself to the brink of insanity, and then there's also the physical aspect that
mm-hmm.
these kinds of extreme stresses cause us to become ill. And
that's true.
The science supports that as well. And so the best thing that we can do for ourselves when we're going through stress like this, when our children are deployed or there's divorce or illness or trauma or sickness or death in the family, is to have really good self-care. And that is a tip that I would give to anybody, the moms out there included whose children are deployed, that the good self-care to stay strong and focused and centered into what's really happening. Because for the most part, these kids are safe. They're put in
right.
harm's way, but they are safe.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny you say that, because even myself, and I know probably many of our listeners, we know that as mothers we need to put ourselves first, because we're useless. If we're ill, we can't take care of our family, but it's also the last thing that we think of to do is to take care of ourselves.
Exactly, and by taking care of ourselves, I think we need to be really clear that it's about sleeping properly,
mm-hmm.
eating properly, getting a fair amount of exercise, even sunshine, you know, getting the benefit
right.
of the vitamin D, which helps, you know, chase away some of the blues and depression that accompany the seasonal changes. You know, just going
right.
out and getting a little dose of 10 minutes of sunshine is not going to give you skin cancer. You know, we're not
right.
talking about, you know, baking yourself. We're talking about simple
mm-hmm.
little things that give TLC to ourselves, so we can be that strong, resilient leader of the family.
Exactly, exactly. Now, for those in the military and that have experienced the battlefield, often come back changed and not always in a good way. What have you experienced working with PTSD or those that just don't feel like they belong anymore in society once they come back? Almost a feeling like of being lost.
Well, there are several things. I could talk actually for hours on this, but the short version is post-traumatic stress or war trauma, because it really is specific and very different. The young men and women that are deployed, or even people who are older that have been involved in conflicts in the past, who are still experiencing these symptoms of post-traumatic stress, this is normal. You know, going to war, being stress overloaded, and coming back having physiological and psychological effects to the war experience is normal. What's not normal is when they go on for a long period of time and they are left untreated. So what I like to share with people who have been deployed and come home, and after a period of a few weeks or months that they're not sort of returning to a reasonable set point of normal, there are always going to be challenges because you've been exposed to things that most people will have never witnessed. And it's indescribable, you know, what you saw, what you might have been asked to do. And you don't need to repeat the story to people. However, if your daily life is compromised, those good interpersonal relationships that we talked about as being one of the key ingredients to happiness are compromised. You're not able to sustain these good connections. Those are symptoms and symbols that things aren't right, and you need to seek counsel. You need to seek, whether it's going to your clergy, whether it's going to therapy, or whether it's just going to a peer support group, whether it's online. There are even closed Facebook groups. The cyber world, the internet, really offers us a lot of options that destigmatize reaching out for help. And that's really, really, really important for our servicemen and women to understand. You must seek help.
Right, right. And thank God we do have those outlets. You know, it's not just going to a therapist these days that you can find help. And I'm so happy that there's more out there these days.
There's a lot out there. And, you know, I want to also talk about the D in post-traumatic stress disorder, that when we tell these young men and women that they have PTSD, we're giving them a label. And the label actually becomes the stigma that keeps them further away from seeking the treatment that we need. So at Harvesting Happiness for Heroes, we call it combat trauma, that we want to expose them to integrated combat trauma recovery, which means teaching them the principles of applied positive psychology tools, simple interventions that they can use and assimilate in life really immediately, reframing what has happened. It's really about transforming the traumatic events to enable one to transcend them and go from the trauma to growth. Post-traumatic growth is what we call it. And also learn how to be more mindful. And then the mindfulness training is an awareness training. It also can involve meditation. There are several kinds of meditation that can physiologically calm the brain and the body, so it reduces heart rate, it reduces blood pressure, it actually relaxes the body and mind, so we can come to that present moment. And that in that present moment, you can't be ruminating about the past or worrying about the future, because all you're really focusing on is your breath or the mantra or your body relaxed or the voice of the person who's taking you through the guided meditation.
Mm-hmm. That is very fascinating, actually. I'm in a trance right now just listening to your thoughts on this. It's definitely would be something that would help me a lot. I was wondering, how would I, or anyone for that matter, help someone that lives each day like, woe is me, and never seems to be happy or anything like that?
Well, I think that the first thing I tell people is live by example. So when we see somebody who is in that state of negativity or in that state of whining or a pity party, and I'm not talking about coming home from service and having a hard time readjusting. That's something very different.
Right.
But somebody who is, you know, gets themselves caught up in a loop of woe is me, I say lead by example. So if you choose to show up each and every day from a joyful perspective on life, even though joy may not be present every day, that is a first step. The second step is you tell somebody, you know, what I feel when I observe you whining is it makes me, you know, Debbie Downer. You're a Debbie Downer in my life, and I know that you're better than that. I know that there's joy there. And start asking questions, because a mind that is thinking and answering questions does not have room for depression and darkness.
Wow, that's such great advice. And the thing is, I know somebody that lives in a woe is me state on a daily basis and has since I've known her for over 20 years. And normally when she calls me, I just listen, and I don't ask her questions like you just stated, and maybe I should throw it back at her and make her think about that there are some happy times in her life with her grandchildren, with her daughter getting married, you know, with whatever happens that day or that week or that month. Because it just, I don't know how to help her when I've known her for so many years and she's been like that. Are there some people you just can't help, though?
Well, personally, because I am a hopeful, optimistic person that is filled with belief, I say that everybody can actually change their set point for happiness, just like we can change the set point for our weight. You know, happiness is like a muscle. If you want to have more joy in your life, you have to exercise it. You have to actually practice more joy, practice these interventions that help stimulate delight and wonder and curiosity about the world. When life becomes stagnant is when we become displeased with ourselves, our relationships, and the world around us. So this asking of questions, you know, like, well, what would it look like if it were perfect to you? Or, you know, if you could do five things from your bucket list, what would they be? Do you have a bucket list? You know, what would the ideal thing be with the relationship with your grandchildren? What are some of the steps that you're willing to take in order to make that happen, which actually puts the responsibility and the power back in her, within her grasp? Because part of why she may be whining is she may think that she's powerless to change the situation.
Yeah, that's true. I know a lot of it comes down to choice, because since I stopped working, and the reason I stopped working is because I've become disabled with different things like fibromyalgia and rheumatoid arthritis and stuff like that, and I'm in pain every single day. It varies from, you know, let's say on a pain scale of 1 to 10, it varies from a 3 to a 7 or an 8, and there are times that I feel myself getting depressed, but I make the choice of not to go down that path. I do not want to get into depression, and I will do something to bring myself out of it. I just deny it, I guess, you know, getting into my mind.
Well, you know, thank you for sharing what you just said, because I have my stepmother suffers from fibromyalgia, and it really impairs everything for her.
Yeah.
And the pain is very severe, and the depression comes on, and it is very severe. And those interventions are critical, you know, to find that sense of passion, purpose, place, and meaning that we're speaking of, which you do through the radio shows, through the music,
mm-hmm.
through discovering, you know, the discovering of new artists, and all of that places you in that state of curiosity, and that curious state keeps you out of depression.
Exactly. If I didn't have this, I don't know what I would do. I just can't. I've always been an active person, and I just can't see myself laying in my bed for the next 20 years or however long I have left on this earth doing absolutely nothing but whining about my pain, and nobody, you know, people will start ignoring you at that point too, even your own family, because, and it wouldn't be because they were tired of listening to it, but because they don't know how to help you.
Well, you know, it's interesting. So there's something very interesting about pain as well, that when pain manifests itself in our bodies, it is our bodies and sometimes it's our mind telling us something. And
right.
It's important to listen to it. So while we want to minimize the pain on the one hand, on the other hand, it's telling us that some changes need to happen in our lifestyle so we can ease the pain, so we can ease the dis-ease that is present. And, you know, some of the ways that I know is helpful is to have a modest form of exercise, whatever that is. For fibromyalgia, I think swimming is a good one. I know for my stepmom that's been helpful to her. The mindfulness training has been extremely helpful because it takes away the focus of on the pain and places it elsewhere, you know, on the breath or on a body part that is not in discomfort.
And, you know, it's funny you mentioned swimming, because somebody else mentioned it to me the other day that they thought it might be a good thing, but not one of my doctors have told me about that.
Oh, well, don't get me started on the doctor. We love the doctor. We do love the doctors. You know,
yeah.
Western modern medicine is really a gift you know, on many levels. You know, it saves lives, it can prevent disease. The diagnostic tools available to us are incredible, but they don't know everything.
Right. And especially about fibromyalgia. It's really not recognized in the medical field, and I found that out myself when I started going to the doctor to find out what was wrong with me. And that needs to be changed because there's so many people out there not getting help for it.
And they're suffering. I mean, there's a lot of suffering going on. That is what I love about, you know, the opportunity to share the work that I do, because we can't make the suffering that happens as a natural part of life go away, but we can learn tools to manage the suffering and end the needless suffering. You know, we don't want to add to the suffering that comes with the human experience. We just want to get rid of the needless parts.
You know it. I'm right.
Yeah, I do know
you.
It. I so know it.
Now, you also wrote a couple of books. You have Harvesting Happiness for Heroes, and is this a book just for the military?
We
and
have
their families?
There are three books. I've got Got Happiness Now, which is a free ebook that is available to anybody and everybody on our website, which is harvestinghappiness.com and hhforheroes.org. Then I have Harvesting Happiness for Heroes Reintegration Strategies, which is a book about coming home from war and skills and resources and tools for dealing with the combat trauma that can accompany the war experience. And then we have Are We Happy Yet?, which is a book about, you know, unlocking a joyful life. And these two are very simple, easy-to-read, short books that are all about how to find one's happy place, you know, when going through some challenges.
Yeah, I did see God Happiness Now, 8 Keys to Unlocking a Joyful Life on your website, and just by registering, you can get that for free. And I'm definitely going to do that because it caught my attention, and I thought, well, I'm sure there's going to be some information in there that's going to help me.
It'll help you. It'll make you chuckle. And that ebook is actually an interactive or multimedia platform. So there's some videos on there. There's music in there. There's the book to read. So it's a little bit different than the regular ebook that you would normally download and be able to have access to. But there's lots of tools. You know, lots of tools. Lots of resources. We have, you know, our own weekly radio show, Harvesting Happiness Talk Radio, where we're always talking about this. And one of the things that we really like to focus on too is the science behind all of it. So you'll often hear from, you know, the medical world. I love having neuroscientists on that talk about the brain, because the brain is where all of this stems from. You know, the happiness and the unhappiness comes from, you know, our brains. And if we can learn to have self-mastery over our brains and understand about neuroplasticity and being able to retrain the brain, which is so vital, especially to the men and women who have served, who come back in many cases with traumatic brain injury, we see really that the world is open to us and quite vast for change. And this is exciting to me.
Wow. That is definitely amazing. I did download that ebook. I haven't looked at it yet because I just did it not long ago. But I'm definitely interested because I might not have health issues, but I definitely have some issues that I have to work through. And I actually had a couple of questions kind of touching on something with that. I actually read the message on your website, Flourishing. And a lot of it reminded me of myself. I saw it in myself. And I wanted to ask, what would you suggest to someone who isn't truly happy with their current situation? It's not necessarily a physical thing. It's just the situation that they're in, but is also procrastinating because they're either too scared or whatever their reasoning behind it, to push through and make things happen for themselves instead of just procrastinating.
This is a fantastic question. Thank you for asking it, because it is so common. You know, it is part of our human condition. You know, we get ourselves into a loop of a situation that may not ultimately be good for us or healthy for us, And we stay because there's a comfort level in no, it's the devil you know versus the devil you don't kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the fear is not so much in the change, it's in purgatory. It's that in-between space. You know, what happens when we take the leap and we're in free fall and we don't know what that free fall is going to look like? So there are several little things that we can do, and I'll just throw out a couple. One is to find things that you really love to do. Let's say you love to dance, and for the last 10 years you have not been able to dance because maybe you've had some physical challenges, or you've been raising children, or you've been working three jobs to support your family, whatever that may be. I'm really making it up as a hypothet, but you love to dance. I think that, you know, one of the ways that we can have a few little moments of happiness would be to go and dance, to, you know, find a class or find a group of people or find a meetup online, which is another great source of creating community, and get a little pleasure in your life. And once you get a little pleasure in your life, you're going to lust for more pleasure, because that's the human condition, you know, to have more of those good feelings. So it's, you know, finding something that you like to do that gives you a sense of community and pleasure, that enables you to feel empowered with your voice or your body, to feel strong and good about yourself. And from that place, you can start to identify tiny little action steps that you would be willing to do to change. You know, it doesn't have to be from 0 to 60. You don't have to drive this like a Maserati. You can really drive it like a Yugo, you know, a short sprint.
Right.
Little baby steps.
Yeah, baby steps.
Yeah.
You know, I shouldn't even say short sprint. A little teeny walk or a stroll.
Right.
Or a crawl. Maybe it's just a crawl. And maybe you have a few good minutes in a day. And then once you get comfortable experiencing those few good minutes in a day, then it maybe goes to a few good hours in the day. And then slowly, after a period of time, this stretches out to something that is longer and becomes more the norm than the rare occurrence.
Yeah, I guess I just need to push through, because whatever it is, I still can't figure out what it is that's keeping me, constrained to just going about my business the way I have been, instead of and not changing, you know, to better myself and better my situation. So, but that's definitely, I think reading your book and looking through that ebook would definitely help as well. I'm pretty sure. There is another thing that's kind of crazy. I know I'm probably not the only one that gets super excited and nervous about something fun and exciting, and I just had something like that pass, you know, and it was a great moment. And I was just wondering if there's any special methods to help someone when they get super excited or nervous about something that's coming up. It's supposed to be fun and enjoyable, but yet it makes them not actually able to sleep much because they've got just stuff on their brain that just won't go away and they can't shut their brain off. That's what happens to me all the time.
Well, the anticipation, the excitement of something new, I actually call that the good stress and the good fear, because it's something that is it bringing you pleasure, bringing you joy. It may be making you tired because, you know, you're excited about it so you can't sleep. I don't necessarily think that is a bad thing, especially if you're able to recoup some of that sleep, you know, once the event has occurred. But if you are in that constant state of that high anticipatory anxiety where you're having sleep disturbance, that's something else. So there's, you know, the brief period that leads up to that event that we're excited about, or is it a state of being that is constant? There's a difference.
Yeah, that definitely is the case. It was just brief, and once the event was over, it was like I was able to finally go to sleep and slept really well, but I was still exhausted because I still had to, you know, recoup it after the fact a little bit more. But yeah, it happens every time though, and I was hoping that since I've done this event before that it wasn't gonna manifest itself the same way, but there was something else new, I guess. There were some new things involved with it, so it just, I guess, it still came about.
Sabina
loves
her soap people. She loves meeting her soap people from Days of Our Lives, and she gets so anxious before and overwrought. And then the next day after it's over and she gets back home, she gets depressed because it's over.
Oh, it's the letdown. So it's the letdown. You've got this buildup that goes on. You know, you're going to get to meet people that you admire and love watching. There's the excitement. You meet them. It's fabulous. It's the dream comes true. And then it's like you go back to regular life.
Right.
Yeah. It's always sad afterwards. Luckily, I didn't cry this time, but I seriously was like, I was really down all of a sudden. It was really weird.
Yeah, she has strong emotions.
And those are good. You know what? Those emotions are fabulous. Having strong emotions is a good thing. And it's what we do with them. You know, how creative can we be with those emotions? You know, maybe, do you take a lot of pictures when you go to, to meet these folks? So maybe there's some project.
Oh, yeah,
I've got over 200. Oh, wow. Wow. So
I'm
it's a hobby.
I'm an aspiring photographer, so that's one of my, that is really a hobby. Plus, I actually work at a portrait studio, so I'm kind of trying to use it as towards work as well. But I definitely, I took a ton of pictures, and I scrapbooked, and I just haven't had a chance to get my pictures printed to get started working on it. But that's always a lot of fun. I always find enjoyment in doing my scrapbooking after the fact and reliving the moments through the pictures and trying to remember, and also trying to remember everything that was said or talked about to write in my scrapbook. That's the other key.
Oh, wow. So what I hear you saying is that the letdown comes after these events, which have been filled with excitement, and the letdown comes, you feel a little blue, but in reality, you have created so many memories through the photographs and your impressions that you're probably capturing in a journal or you hope to capture in a journal to transfer to the scrapbooking, that it's that little window of the letdown that if you can allow yourself to move through that to start putting into action the desire of making the scrapbook, of making the pages for the website, for the portrait studio, or for your own portfolio, that it would take you out of that blue space because you'd be doing something creative with it.
Yeah, and it really, it didn't last as long this time as it has in the past or could have, just simply because I had something I had to go take care of. I had an errand to run, and I know I was actually talking to Pam, and I was, like, really upset. I was like, I got to go run an errand, so see ya. And when I got back, I was okay. I mean, I'm still kind of in the back of my mind, it's over and it's sad, but it's not like I'm like super depressed about it or anything. So
you'll be fine, Sabina. Just get your scrapbooking together and you'll be fine. Now, Lisa, you also offer your services to businesses, organizations, groups, and so on. What would a business call you to do for them? Is it like a seminar, or do you work individually with their employees, or both?
Both. I will work one-on-one with people in a business or as a private one-on-one clientele. But in the businesses, I'm often called in to do workshops with the management, you know, to talk about the importance of happiness and the dynamics of positive psychology and how to apply this in the workplace. Because if you've ever noticed, if you walk into a business, and I'm speaking of a retail business, and there may be someone behind the counter who is dour and nasty and wearing just a god-awful grin, it's like a virus. It's like the influenza of bad news can strike. You know, it's infectious.
Right.
And conversely, if you walk in and you see somebody, and I'll go to that metaphor of the light being on in their eyes and a smile on their face, and not in a saccharine way, in a really true, authentic way. They're just happy to be there, happy to be of service, because they are nowhere else in that moment but present and able to serve and doing it joyfully. You know, not every moment in life, in our professional lives, is about that home run or scoring the big win financially. And if we can learn to, and this, I hope this doesn't offend some of your listeners, but I at times I lecture to medical students and I talk to them about making love to life. And if we can learn to make love to life in the little moments of being, we are going to be much happier.
That makes sense to me, and I'm not offended.
You know, whether it's driving our cars or
right.
cooking, preparing food for our families or running errands or even, you know, doing our taxes, which is really one of my most horrible tasks that I hate doing.
Oh, of course.
But if I
am
here. And it's not about the paying. It's about the organizing,
mm-hmm,
you know,
right.
going through everything. But if I change my perspective and the way I view the process as to not feel like there's a noose around my neck with it, but that I'm really doing it joyfully because I'm getting to clean up all of these papers and I'm getting to organize this part of my life, and I take on this different perspective, it's not that the task changes. The task doesn't change, you know, but
right.
the way I relate to it does.
Exactly. You have to find the good in everything, that's something that's going to bring a smile to your face, no matter how yucky it seems to you at the time, is the only thing I could think of the word, you know, dreary and not wanting to do it. But that's a great attitude to have in everything that you do in life.
Indeed. And, you know, we have one more program for our vets that, if with your permission, I'd love to share because it's free.
Definitely. Definitely.
We partnered with Groupon Grassroots, and they helped us underwrite a new program called Reboot, which is a 6-week online combat trauma recovery program. It's available by going to hhforheroes.org. You can register there. We ask a handful of really simple questions about your military service, what you would hope to achieve from the program, and you get to come in. There are 20 spots in the first cohort that starts on May 22nd for 6 weeks. So it will end just before Independence Day. And
mm-hmm.
then there is a second group, and these are both free, sponsored by Groupon. The second group will launch in June as well. So if you or someone you love is in the military and is having trouble readjusting to life after service, please consider, you know, reading about our program online. There's no stigma. It's a mission-driven program all about defining happiness and life in the new post-war normal.
That's wonderful. Thank you for doing that, and thank you for sharing it with our listeners. Oh, extremely important.
My pleasure.
Now, if somebody wanted to contact you to do a seminar or to be a guest speaker or something, how would they contact you?
Easy. Lisa@harvestinghappiness.com.
That is easy. And if you forget, you can go to the website. It's harvestinghappiness.com. And you also have a Facebook page, so it's facebook.com/harvestinghappiness. Lisa's also on Twitter at Lisa Kamen, that's Kamen, and at HH4Heroes. So there's quite a few different ways that they can reach out to you.
Yes.
And that's a
and
good
thing. And I hope you do. It's a very good thing. I love engaging with, you know, people who want to learn more about this work, or even those who are just curious, even the skeptics. Mm-hmm. The skeptics are the most fun. So bring them on.
Aren't they, though? Yeah.
Yes.
Now, I don't know if this is possible, but what 3 words would you give someone looking for happiness if you could only use 3 words?
Oh.
Ooh.
How about, I need, you know what? Inside job.
Inside job, yes, it's true, because it has to come from within.
Yes.
Although we broke up in inside.
No,
but
one word, inside, yeah.
That was very good. Oh, and also I want to mention, too, to watch your YouTube have under Harvesting Happiness. I did catch some of them, and they were really great to listen to and to watch what you do at your finest.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. I want to thank you so much for joining us today and for all that you do to bring happiness to the world, even if it's one person at a time, one group, or one heart at a time. It really makes a difference in the world.
Oh, thank you. My pleasure to be with you. And I, you know, I get to do this every day, and I think that that is the point of the discussion. You know, to feel
mm-hmm.
like it's an honor to get to do what you do in life is what creates joy.
Right, right. That's, and I just love that you're doing this, and hope that more people will follow your footsteps and bring more happiness to the world, no matter what it takes, because we do need it.
Indeed, we do.
And please be careful driving home now. That is my last word of advice for you.
Thank you. I will. You know, now that I'm safely ensconced in my parking spot with full bars, I might not move.
Oh. Yeah, can you think of anybody else you have to call real quick while you got those bars?
Exactly.
That was funny. But we welcome you back at any time. If you have anything new coming out, just let us know. Get in contact. We'll be very happy to have you back again.
Likewise. And we will talk offline about
some
other goodies, about music and other tips. It would be my pleasure to share them with you, too.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Sabina, did you want to say anything?
Yes, I wanted to thank you as well. And definitely probably going to contact you as well, because I definitely have some other questions. And I just love what you do, and I'm very interested to hear more.
Oh, thanks, Sabina. Thanks for asking some amazing questions, too. It's always really helpful to have these, you know, questions thrown out there so you can explain the tools in a real-life scenario, you know, to put it in action, because it tends to make more sense that way.
Exactly.
Right. Well, you're welcome, and thank you.
And you have a wonderful evening. Enjoy your family, and we'll chat again soon.
Thank you, ladies. Thanks for having me again.
You're very welcome.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, that was very, very insightful and very interesting, needless to say, and found out, you know, not only things for my personal self, but for you, and I'm sure a lot of listeners also learned a lot of good things today. It doesn't, you know, take a lot to get some happiness in your life. You just have to figure out what that is.
Right.
So are you going to do the steps, Miss Sabina?
Once I read, I got to go read it now. I gotta actually motivate myself to get on there and read it.
I'm going to hold you to that, and we got a lot of listeners that heard you say that. So.
Oh, darn, it's on air, and it's recorded for life.
We can blackmail you now. That'll be our joy. No, I'm only kidding. But thank you so much to our listeners for joining us tonight. It's been a rather fun evening, and so we look forward to having you back again with us. On May 9th, we have as a special guest Lawrence St. Victor, who plays Carter on Bold and the Beautiful now. And I know he was on Guiding Light for quite a few years. Unfortunately, I don't know his name off the top of my head from Guiding Light. So it's going to be at a special time, though. It's going to be at 4 p.m. Eastern time, and David will be co-hosting with me. And then we'll be taking a few days off, and we'll get back on Monday. But join us on Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern for Lawrence St. Victor. And anything that you want to add to that, Sabina?
No, I think I'm good. It was a great show, and I look forward to the next one.
Yay, good. That means you'll be coming next time with me when you have to co-host.
Exactly.
Well, follow us on Twitter at Take Two Radio. Check out our website at taketworadio.com. You can listen to the previous podcast from my website, from Blog Talk, also on iTunes. If you follow us on Blog Talk, they'll send you out an email each and every time we schedule a guest. That way you won't miss your favorites. And please call in when we do have a guest. They enjoy talking with their fans, or if you have a question, just to say hello even. The phone number is 1-718-506-1540, press 1, and that way we know you want to talk. Also follow Sabina and David, my other co-host, on Twitter at Take Two Radio Crew. And with that, I'm going to say everybody enjoy the rest of their evening, and we'll see you back here on Thursday. Good night, Sabina, and thanks for joining me.
You're welcome, and thank you. Good night.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.